I'm delighted that I have the composer of the theme from Forrest Gump, Predator and Back to the Future, Alan Silvestri, sitting opposite me in the studio. What, this is such a thrill for me because your music is just so stirring and so evocative of those films. So thank you so much indeed for coming in and joining us.
Thank you. It's a thrill for me as well to be here.
And you're here for Cinemagic, the Young Filmmakers Festival. And what did you know about it before you came over?
I didn't know a tremendous amount. I knew that it was based around providing certain kinds of contact and opportunity for young people, which is an incredible thing. And I happened to recently spend some time with a newfound friend, Patrick Doyle, who raved and raved about his experiences here. So I'm thrilled to be here and really looking forward to my time with all the participants.
And that's one thing about kids. I mean, when we say kids, it sounds a bit patronizing, and I don't mean it that way. These young people are just amazing. They have no filter, and they will ask whatever they want to ask. So it's going to be an entertaining night, I would imagine, for you.
It's the scary part, but it's okay. It's okay. I mean, I have had an experience or two that might be of use for them going forward before they have all the same ones themselves.
Because the music talent that there is here in Northern Ireland is phenomenal. And it's, I mean, Cinemagic has done so much in getting young people into cinema, into TV, not necessarily as the stars. And that's what's so lovely about these young participants who take part in Cinemagic. It's not the stardom they're after, it's the actual love of the art.
Exactly. And it's interesting how we may start off going down a certain path, but as you say, the more they see what it really takes to put a piece of cinema out there before the public, there are spectacular creative opportunities in so many fields: graphic arts, sound, photography, all kinds of things. So there's lots to see and lots to learn about the whole spectrum of what it takes to make a film.
Now, I'm sure every composer has their own way of doing things. For example, we played Carly Simon there, Nobody Does It Better, from Roger Moore's Bond, The Spy Who Loved Me. Mm-hmm. I saw an interview with Sam Smith about the new Bond movie, and of course he had to write the theme without seeing the movie. He was just given the script and take it from there. So when you're in the creative process, what would you prefer? Would you like to see rough cuts and the rushes and put music to them, or are you given a brief?
It's, for me, personally, it's always better to see the moving images. There's something that is communicated through that, I think, that's impossible off the printed page in a script. In a movie like Polar Express, where songs needed to be written for production, to be shot to, you don't have the option. So you have to work off the page and your dialogue with the director. But if you can see the images, how the actors move, how they relate, it just brings a kind of realness to the process.
Well, may I also say many congratulations on your Emmy for Cosmos, wasn't it?
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, many, many nominations. I was also looking at your filmography and the discography. There's over 80. And there's some really iconic ones there. I mean, I played, as I say, Forrest Gump, Predator. Mm-hmm. That middle bit, that sort of, you can just see the evil, baddie bit coming at you. But then, of course, Back to the Future. And here we are in 2015. We've just passed the 30th anniversary of Back to the Future, landing in our time now.
Right.
Did you think that here we are 30 years on, there's so many orchestras are playing the music live from that movie and your music?
Well, that is a miracle. And only time can create that kind of miracle. And it's just been thrilling. The film was successful when it came out. But many films reach that level of success, but never have this afterlife that Back to the Future has, and finding young audiences as though it was just released. So we all marvel at it, but we all also, by all I mean everyone who worked on it in every capacity, we're just enjoying the fact that this happened.
Well, one of the things that you see coming out of so many movies, there is the power, there's the pop song that mm-hmm. seems to take over. For example, in The Bodyguard, there was the Whitney song, that,
right.
which I have to still say, sorry, Dolly Parton does it for me. She gets my thumbs up. But The Power of Love and things like that. Yeah. I mean, does it slightly annoy you that the pop songs overtake your actual soundtrack?
No, it's you know, I think the bottom line, if you will, is that this is a collaborative art. If one were interested in having the music sit completely alone, then one would be in the business of writing concert music for the concert stage. But if you're involved in film, you are a crew member on a ship. Hopefully you have only one captain, which would be the director. Many times that's not the case. The boat owner's in there once in a while. But it's collaborative. So the pop song, when it's used well, is an incredible part of the potential success and fun of the film. And so I think it would be foolish to begrudge.
And talking of long relationships, your lovely wife, Sandra, sitting beside you here in the studio as well. She's and one of the lovely collaborations that you've come up with is a family business that mm-hmm. is now producing wines, which is, I have to admit, I am a huge wine lover. And how are things after the fires in Carmel this year?
For us, things are fine. Things were not fine for a number of our neighbors, very, very close to us there. So, you know, this is one of these things that's part of living in a rural area. Of course, our hearts and prayers have gone out and will continue to go out to the folks who suffered. But for us personally, the fire moved in direction away from the vineyard, so we didn't receive any kind of smoke damage or certainly fire damage. So we're okay.
And the vineyards are a labor of love. And I actually love the description that you have of how growing grapes for wine and creating wine is a bit like creating music. It's the science and it's the art that all go together to create this fabulous product.
That's exactly right. And you know, it's interesting. Along with that comes this certain measure of mystery. When we get into either the music side or the wine side, one can have all of the craft attempt to control all of the forces, but then all of a sudden you're kind of standing there in front of this mystery of how it all really works. And you just have to smile and say thank you.
Because it was your family that came over from Italy to the States in the early 1900s, and this was sort of an ambition of theirs, really, to go into the wine business?
Well, you know, I would say more than an ambition. It was just a part of ordinary life. They were a very lower-income family. They worked in restaurants, and, of course, Grandma was a spectacular cook. And once a year, they would go to the train station and pick up a crate of fruit from California that had come all the way across country. They'd take it down into the basement, and they would make their 3 to 5 gallons of wine, which they would drink throughout the year. And I wouldn't say it was great wine, but this is how their families had lived, you know, as far back as one could remember. So it was somehow in the blood in some way, and we just took it to rather an extreme.
Well, you certainly have. I remember just talking about good wines and bad wines. Belfast has grown quite successfully over mm-hmm. the last few years. But many years ago, there was an Italian restaurant. There are people of a certain age mm-hmm. Will remember this Italian restaurant called Ciro's in the centre of town. It was mm-hmm. one of the first sort of continental restaurants that opened in Belfast. And I remember asking for the wine list, and I was told, you're going to have the £3 red or the £3 white.
That's exactly it.
And the £3 white would have been better on your chips.
That's right. Exactly. So, yeah, things have come a long way, and yet not. I mean, that's still... when we travel very often, we have fun ordering the house wine just to see how, you know, what folks are drinking on an everyday basis. So wine is a very lovely kind of expression of the culture wherever you are.
Oh, it certainly is. And it's so lovely to be able to try so many different wines. And the fact that there was such a snob value about wine, and, oh, I'll only drink French, I won't drink mm-hmm. New World wines. But it was the New World wines that saved the French vineyards whenever the disease hit.
Absolutely. Phylloxera is a famous mm-hmm. story. And I think it's one of those examples that whatever our differences, when times get tough, we are all on this little blue ball somehow together, and we'll find a way to join up and do what we need to do to survive and go on and enjoy our lives.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today. I could talk to you for hours, but unfortunately, my program finishes in about 18 minutes. I have lots still to get through.
Right.
May I wish you every success with The Vineyard, every success with the music career. The Walk is a fabulous film that's come out now as well, and have absolute ball with the young people tonight at Cinemagic. And also, there's you're doing something tomorrow as well, I think?
Yeah, I think I'm scheduled to spend the better part of the day with a group of, I'm going to call, well, they're certainly younger than I am, the young, and we're going to be looking at film pieces and talking about the techniques of film composition and the many facets of that, and I'm looking forward to it. It should be a good day.
Well, thank you so much indeed for coming over and supporting Cinemagic, and as I say, every success for the future.